This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
What's up, South Canyon? Pastor Tanner here, and I'm with our worship pastor, Joel Harris, and with our head honcho, our head pastor, Brent Reeves. And so today, guys, I wanted to discuss with you all essentially talking about redeeming the time. I think kind of in this current landscape that we're in, it's really easy to maybe just kind of sit behind a screen or to constantly like just watch Netflix. I don't know. I think it's really easy just because there's not a lot of things aside from maybe taking a walk that we can do right now. So with that said, why, Brent, did we as pastors feel like we needed to have this conversation as a church family?
I would say, I guess specifically and first thing that comes to my mind is that a part of Christian discipleship is how we do steward the resources that God gives us. And among those, one of the most valuable ones is our time. We have so much time and no more. We don't know how much time that is. But we want to redeem the time, make the most of the time, buy it up in the sense of being intentional to invest the time that we have in that which matters and in that which will glorify God. So it's really a very key part to our discipleship, our stewardship of our time, and obviously even not only how we use our time in terms of number of minutes doing this, number of hours doing this, but also what we're doing during that time in terms of whether it is redemptive, whether it is positive in a biblical sense, or whether it's going to be detrimental ultimately to our souls.
Joel, what are maybe some benefits of us having this conversation about redeeming the time, especially as we're in this season of COVID-19?
Yeah, I think one thing that I've just been thinking about, but also, I'll get to the encouraging part. There's encouraging things as well, but I guess, you know, social media or you know, being online and so on, I mean, all of us, I think, can just be tempted to end up vegging out and just scrolling down a feed for a long time. And sometimes there's a real benefit to getting to see, you know, how friends or loved ones are doing or see pictures of their kids and things like that. And that can lead us to maybe, you know, leave a comment, connect in some way that could be encouraging. But I guess what I've also noticed, maybe especially during this time with you know, coronavirus and everything, there can just be a lot of what we're reading and taking in, and or maybe things that we're posting, where it's coming out of our own fear about, you know, life and things that are going on. It may be kind of sharing or revealing kind of our anger, frustration about whatever we're unhappy about, or just feeling isolated, or it could be kind of just a suspicion or mistrust and so on. And so those kinds of things are not so much productive or kind of displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Whereas I think our best use of time as it relates to relating to others, our relationships with others, is when we're able to, in some meaningful way, reach out and actually connect with someone or pray for someone. And so the encouraging thing that I've seen is people, whether it's, you know, some of our life groups and our members here at South Canyon, and even among us as pastors, like if we've been able to give someone a call, if we've been able to set up, you know, some sort of video chat where we're reading through scripture or praying for one another, like those are just so much more encouraging and beneficial. In many cases, well, in every case, especially because of social isolation, you know, it's all making use of technology, but I think in a way that's a lot more meaningful and the kinds of things that, you know, scripture tells us to do for and with one another, we're able to actually walk that out. So I think that's an example of maybe a better use of our energies, our time, our minds, and so on.
So I know initially what kind of prompted this conversation for at least us three was an article that Ed Stetzer wrote, and I know that we kind of have already discussed a little bit, okay, this argument that Stetzer's making is good, but it might seem a little harsh, but Joel, can you just kind of give us a snapshot of what Stetzer was trying to argue for within this conversation, specifically about social media and coronavirus at this current time?
Yeah, I would say, without getting, you know, too deep into all of his content, in that. It was, I think it was mainly just wanting to maybe challenge and just caution Christians about what they might be, you know, sharing, what they might be posting, or liking even on social media, just when it comes to, there's obviously a lot of different, you know, opinions, ideas, sometimes theories, whether it's related to, you know, to COVID-19 or other things in terms of world affairs and politics and so on. And just that we want to be a good witness, that we care about the truth, we pursue truth and wisdom, and we're governed by God's word, and we believe He's sovereign. And so certainly, you know, there are a lot of things going on in the world we don't know all the details of, and sometimes it's wise to be suspicious about, you know, because power can be used, you know, in a corrupting way. But at the same time, not just throwing things out there that we haven't really thought through or tried to check on ourselves, but just kind of immediately sharing it. And just that could, in some cases, not reflect well on, you know, at the Christian community, if it seems like we're in some way gullible or naive as relates to those kind of things.
So like the public square used to be, you know, lecture halls, used to be, I guess, maybe things like, I just totally lost the word, but conferences, things like that. That used to be the public square where things like this were discussed, but now it seems like people have taken to social media to discuss those things. And so I think, especially as Christians, it's a little hard for us to transition of thinking, oh, whenever I'm posting anything out into the ether of the internet, it's actually going into the public square and displaying either what we believe about Christ or what we believe about the gospel or about even our own local church. So, Joel, I do, just because you initially had sent this article to Brent and I, just biblically, why is this conversation important for Christians? Where are some like places in Scripture where maybe we are called to use technology wisely, or maybe to use social media wisely? What are just some, maybe a couple of biblical examples that kind of come to mind for you?
Sure. Yeah, and so one of them, which I think we had in mind even in setting up this conversation and the idea of redeeming the time, is Ephesians 5 in verse 15, where Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There are a couple things that jump out. I mean, looking carefully how we walk, you know, and walk is often just a term that's used a lot in the New Testament. It really just means how we live. You know, it's our lives, it's our the way we conduct ourselves. And then obviously wisdom is a big emphasis there. And then making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Which, of course, sometimes we can always feel like, oh, this particular time period we're in now, like, this is, the days are evil now. But, I mean, he means just more broadly in terms of the last days, where, you know, the church is seeking to spread the gospel, but, you know, the enemy is still at work to oppose, and to, you know, he wants us to just, you know, to be distracted and to be ineffective and to be, drawn in by the, you know, the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the devil and so on. So, so that's a key passage that just challenges us to really think and be careful about how we use our time. And then another place in Colossians, which is very similar in many places with Ephesians, he says in Colossians 4:5, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And that passage is interesting because it's a much more specifically relating to how we're interacting with them through our speech, and of course, you know, online speech is still speech. And then, you know, we're wanting to know how to answer others, again, to try to be a witness to the gospel and to have a door to be able to communicate and evangelize and so on. So,
Bryn, do you see any biblical examples of why this conversation right now that we're having is important?
Well, Joel just mentioned that even though when we're on social media, people aren't hearing our voice vocally, but they are receiving, you know, it's communication. We're speaking words. And I think the Bible puts a huge emphasis on words and on the importance of words and the danger of words. And I think specifically about James in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." And so I think that's a very important thing to think about. And of course, the book of Proverbs talks a whole lot about being slow to speak and being careful about your words. And then a little bit later in chapter 1, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is in vain. So again, the significance of having a bridle, in a sense, you know, controlling, like a bridle would control an animal that might want to run away or go off the course. We've got to exercise some self-control and some control over. And then, of course, the beginning of chapter 3 of James is just all about the tongue being a fire, a world of iniquity, that it's set on fire by hell, you know, and it destroys. And then Jesus even talks about how our words really reveal our heart. Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so to me, all of those things communicate. I mean, what the words we use, the way we speak about things and about people and about issues really are a revelation of our heart and our motives and our, you know, priorities. And so we need to be careful because it is a witness, and sometimes it's a bad witness, right, you know, when we speak online through the things we write or through the things we pass along. When we do that, we're communicating something, and sometimes it doesn't adorn the gospel. And that's, you know, that's what we're here for, and that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, is to love the gospel, believe the gospel, and then want others to believe the gospel. So we want to adorn the gospel by the way we live. And a big part of that is what we say, how we communicate, what we communicate on social media and otherwise.
I know for us pastors, it's certainly a higher weight and maybe a heavier burden to think about what we're saying, especially because, you know, there are times where we're publicly talking about the things of God, the things of earth, and especially about Christ, and we want to be careful about what we're saying. And I think a lot of just kind of in this time, I think Christians are just having to deal with, oh, my tongue isn't just the words that are coming out of my physical mouth, but also the things that are clicking on the keyboard as well. So I think that's a really kind of different transition that maybe we aren't necessarily just cognitively like saying, oh, my tongue is not just my physical mouth, but also the things I type as well. A couple of scriptures that come to my mind. Now, mind you, Paul is writing to Titus here, but admonishes him, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. And so I know, especially for us, we want to make sure that we're not partaking in those things. But I think, you know, in that section, just right before this, he's actually admonishing his pastor, Timothy, to say that as well to the congregation. So that's a little bit of why we're talking about this as well, just because we don't want to be caught up in these controversies that are, as Paul says, they're just worthless. And then, you know, Joel, you mentioned Ephesians 4:5. I think of Ephesians 4:29, you know, only letting things that are building up to the body should be coming out of our mouth. I know, especially as I think about this with my students, I kind of have a couple of filters of what I post on social media or what I'm thinking about posting on social media. And if it glorifies God or does not glorify God, is kind of the dichotomy that I'm thinking of whenever I'm thinking about, should I post? If I'm going to post this, does this magnify Jesus? Does this only magnify myself? I think, I mean, I was just scrolling on Instagram last night, just on our youth account page, and it's just amazing. And this isn't to any particular student or anything like that, but just the amount of vanity that can come from social media, where it's all a display and a reflection of our own self, and that's what we're wanting to show the world, instead of kind of pondering, is what I'm posting, is what I'm saying via social media, actually building up the body or glorifying Christ in this time. Joel, I know obviously this last Sunday, and I guess maybe for the podcast, it'll be two Sundays ago, you prayed a prayer of confession for our church, just, you know, not just our members, but even ourselves in this room, talking about that we need to confess to some of the things where we've maybe partaken in those arguments or acted foolishly with our words. And can you just kind of help our congregation see kind of how maybe you got there in the prayer and just some key things that you were specifically praying about as God kind of laid those on your heart?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of the things that we've just been talking about here, and even thinking about Ephesians 5 as a little bit of a springboard. But yeah, just recognizing times when we've not maybe used our time wisely or lovingly, and just recognizing, you know, God calls us to, you know, to spend time and to know and to love His Word, and we can spend more time, you know, reading or, you know, looking at other things rather than in His Word, and that, and like I mentioned earlier, even just in wanting to love and care for others through meaningful engagement, which we do still have, you know, it is still possible, even if it's as, you know, old school as using the landline telephone, you know, and so just recognizing the ways that we can kind of do what comes more easily, and takes maybe a little less of, you know, going out on a limb, picking up the phone, calling someone, or just as simple as praying for somebody just right there in the moment. And again, doing what comes easier may be more related to our flesh than really being led by the Spirit. And so, yeah, just needing to confess our, you know, our sinfulness, our failure, and yet knowing that there's grace, and, you know, and God will forgive us through Jesus and through the cross, and yet that we want to be empowered by His Spirit to, you know, to grow to more maturity, and to you know, through His help and through, really, it's, I mean, this is what this whole conversation has been about, you know, what does God's Word tell us, what does it teach us, and that's what can guide us then to, I think, to do better. Another passage that that I've thought is interesting, was reading this recently with Kimmy, is just in Philippians 4, where Paul writes, you know, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so certainly, you know, I guess I think of when we're reading things on, you know, articles or social media, I mean, we're kind of thinking on those things that we're reading about. And this list that Paul gives is so amazing, because I think sometimes you can almost have, I guess for me growing up with, you know, knowing God's Word, you can think of this passage and think it's, have a wrong idea that it's a little bit like this happy, fluffy kind of like, oh, whatever's beautiful and good, and yet it's a really robust list. It's not just talking about like, just focus on the positive and the happy or something like that. You know, he talks about whatever's honorable, whatever's just. Like, there's a lot of weight, you know, in that word. Whatever's just, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence. And certainly, you know, what is pure and what is worthy of praise and so on. But so, you know, there's really a lot there if we just meditate on that and think through that. It's not so restrictive that it would just be like, you know, cute puppy videos or something like that. And yet, but there is a certain direction to it where it's not our fears, it's not our frustration, it's about, you know, what is commendable, what is honorable, what is true, and so on. So I think that's a really helpful passage to really think about as well on this.
Brent, any other thoughts just maybe on wisdom in this specific sphere of social media or screen time, or any other thoughts just kind of coming to mind as we're talking about these things?
Yeah, I was thinking of the same text that Joel just referred to, and he mentioned verse 8. And then I also think, going back up to verse 5, where he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Mm-hmm. The Lord is at hand. In some translations, gentleness. The idea is you should be the kind of person who is characterized by, it's known, you know, it's your reputation, that you are reasonable, that you're fair-minded. Yeah. You're not a person who is so biased and so one way in terms of particular. Again, I'm not saying, obviously I don't mean by this that you don't have convictions and that there aren't things that are true and anything that's the opposite of that would therefore be false. But I'm saying there is a sense in which you are, I think of the Bereans, that they were noble-minded. Mm-hmm. And I think what that text means and what that terminology means is they were fair-minded. And I think that ought to be what characterizes Christians. And there's a gentleness that's a part of that. And you know, we kind of know the next two verses about not being anxious, but by everything in prayer and supplication let your request, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. And then the verse that Joel said. So I think this whole passage, you know, maybe 5 and 8 particularly relate to what we're talking about this morning with social media and so forth, such issues. But then 6 and 7 obviously apply to the anxiety that we could be feeling during this time. And that sometimes may be the source of us posting things or saying things online that maybe aren't wholesome and that aren't honorable and noble and praiseworthy as the list that Joel referred to gives. So, I think there are plenty of places in Scripture that some of us are very familiar with that we just need to kind of go back to and remember and be intentional about applying to our lives as it relates to this issue.
Kind of what I'm hearing is, as believers in Jesus Christ, the gospel has implications on every single thing we do. And what kind of comes to my mind is just Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, so because of the gospel, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And I think maybe here, maybe in this day and age, he would say to present your fingertips that are at the keyboard as a living sacrifice as well, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. I think so often, especially right now, it's just so easy to do what everybody else is doing, especially and maybe propagating a fearful mentality and wanting to question. And I think questioning is good, right? Like in certain circumstances, we want to see if things weighed against God's word are true and are noble. But if we're constantly always doing that, that's not necessarily a good witness. But this last verse, and it's verse 2 here, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So basically, kind of in our conversation, I think kind of a theme is, as believers in Jesus, as believers of the gospel message, that changes the way that we approach social media. So I think it's just a good thing to have in our minds. Okay, so with that said, we've talked a lot about the dangers and about needing to have wisdom in posting. Maybe for each of you guys, and I'll start with you, Brent, what's like one thing that you found encouraging in this time, because we are having to use technology and maybe social media a little bit more? What's like maybe one thing that you've seen that is really encouraging to you in this time?
Yeah, there have been specific articles, specific teachings that I have found to be very, very helpful during this time. One of the things that I began to do and haven't completed, but I intend to, is I've downloaded John Piper's book on Christ and the coronavirus and have listened to him reading, just audio, him reading. I can just listen to it. And I think that is really helpful. It's a very solid, thick, dense, I guess you'd say, a treatment of the issue in light of God's providence and God's sovereignty and what that does and doesn't mean in the situation. I think that's one thing that's been very encouraging to me that I've specifically done. And then, again, lots of things that I've read from different people on different websites that I tend to find good things on have been very helpful.
Great.
Also.
And we're going to be talking about some of those things as well here in another episode. But Joel, maybe for you, what's like an encouragement that you've seen kind of in maybe social media or just in technology at this point in time?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's just been encouraging, and because we don't want anyone to feel like we're just seeing all these bad things even among people in the church or anything like that, because I've seen a lot of really positive things and encouraging things. I've seen folks from South Canyon and other people I know just kind of reaching out on Facebook or social media and just saying like, how are you doing? Even asking like what you're asking, what's something encouraging that you've seen in this last week? And so like there's been really positive kind of conversations and engagement and people checking in on each other through through social media. Even things as kind of concrete and practical is like the way the business community in Rapid City and like trying to support restaurants and so on with some of the Facebook groups. I mean, I've seen people come together in a really neat way, and I think that's a reflection of just even common grace. You know, people pulling together and recognizing we need each other and we need support and care for each other. And so that's been encouraging to see. I think there's been a lot of good there as well. So.
Yeah, I know for me, at least just being here at South Canyon, I've been trying to make a habit of praying through our directory and texting those people, just letting them know that I've prayed for them, and if they need anything, they can let me know. And most often, instead of them telling me if they need anything or if they need prayer about any specific thing, it ends up being, hey, how can I pray for you? And so I've definitely seen the kindness of our church kind of through the interaction that is just limited right now, it seems like, to only technology. So I'm super thankful for that. But do be on the lookout for our next episode, talking about maybe some ways that we can fill up or use our time well, whether that's with websites, books, music. Be on the lookout for that next episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.